The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 59, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 59, verses 1 through 10. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, for there is no saving. I have come into deep waters, for the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying, my throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who will destroy me, seeing my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. But not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. But not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach.
All right, thank you, Brock, for that reading. Dave, always good singing this morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We've had a good worship service thus far. Good Bible study. Everything that I said about those sheep being dumb last week, just forget about all that. Smart sheep out there, smart animals out there after this morning's Bible class, a good study. We trust the Lord's been good to you this week, a beautiful Lord's Day. We're assembled here in this assembly to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the birthday wishes. Mom said, I never dreamed you'd live that long. I don't know how that's supposed to mean. I don't know. Our family experienced a different Thanksgiving than usual this year. Through the natural process of aging and then getting sick and then passing on, we lost Jeannie's dad a few months ago. And some years have lost loved ones, and it may be in a different way. Tragically, or this wasn't maybe supposed to happen, or maybe the doctors, we just thought they were more competent, and maybe we shouldn't be going through this. Lots of ways that folks have lost loved ones. It can be suddenly, it can be tragically, it can, and even if it's expected. A lot of times, over the last 5 months, I thought about what has happened to our family, and we gathered together this Thanksgiving, as we typically do during Thanksgiving, and some of you will understand what I'm trying to talk about this morning, because some of you just went through maybe what we have went through this past Thanksgiving. I don't know, there just seems to be there was something different definitely about our gathering. There just seems to be, it was just maybe, I don't know if awkward is the right word or not, but the family finally comes together for those traditional traditions and the rituals that we always go through. But I couldn't look around without thinking maybe about the void that was ever present during our time this time. And there just seemed to be a dark cloud over the whole thing, maybe, as I was looking back and thinking about the occasion. We got together, and we shared a meal, and we shared some laughs and all of those things, and we ate together. But after that, we just kind of candidly made our way, when the time was over, back to the car, and we just kind of made our way back home. And I share that with you because it has reminded me of something this past week, and it really kind of etched into my heart about the way I was feeling. And I think we need to remember when we come into this holiday portion of the year that we always come into, that maybe the holidays aren't the same for everybody. Maybe the holidays that we all share, we all look out there, they're not the same for everybody. In fact, maybe the Thanksgiving that your family had, you traditionally have, you have the food, the family, the friends, the football, the Dallas Cowboys lost, but that's what it is to us as we gather and we do that. And as I look around, I think sometimes We celebrate all that, but because it's like that for us, sometimes we think that's like that for everybody. And maybe it's not like that for everybody. And I think we need to recognize that. There are people in this church family who spent Thanksgiving a few days ago without somebody that they love. And they were feeling, I think, that painful void that maybe we were feeling at Thanksgiving this time. There are families that never got together this past Thanksgiving at all because there's so much friction and turmoil in their family. There's so much conflict and struggle in their family. They didn't even have a Thanksgiving. There are families that got together, but the whole time they were together, they were praying they didn't have a blow-up because they're walking on pins and needles because, boy, that fine line you've got to walk, hoping that somebody doesn't say something that just blows everything up. Maybe you're thinking about the holidays coming up, maybe a little bit different. Maybe you're thinking about what's going to happen here in a couple, 3 weeks. Everybody's at the table, they're talking about what Santa Claus has already got and what he's going to be giving. And maybe you're thinking about, you know what, the offering that I'm going to have is going to be a little bit meager because this tough year financially. Maybe every year is tough financially, and you're thinking about that. I'm not saying all that this morning to make you feel bad. If your Thanksgiving was good with your family, I pray it was, and you need to enjoy that because it's not always going to be that way. It won't always be that way. I'm saying it because we need to be sensitive to people, and we need to be sensitive to people who maybe it wasn't a good day, and that maybe this time of year is not always a joyous celebration that the world tries to put out there. And I think we need to be sensitive to that reality. And I thought about that. And I thought about how I should look at people and think about people and think about this time of year. And I thought about all the times the Scripture talks about Jesus being the compassionate man that he was. And yet, the Lord's compassionate. Yes, this is a given. We just take that for granted. But I was amazed as I started looking at how many times that came up in Scripture about the Lord's compassion and about the feeling that he had in his gut to people that were suffering. There's so many different settings in the Scripture about that talk about Jesus seeing people in the condition that I think sometimes we overlook. We don't think about. And we don't see. Matthew talks about it. Matthew chapter 9. When the Lord's going to all these cities and all these different villages and all these different places, he's seeing people that are just scattered. And they're scattered because they lack the knowledge that they don't have. And he's distressed about that. He sees that, their lack of guidance. And verse 36 says, he felt compassion for them. He was moved by what he saw in that. But that's not the only time. And he goes to Luke chapter 7. And here's a widow coming out of the city. He's there about the same time a funeral procession is going on. A widow is burying her only son. And it doesn't take much to know what that means for her. And verse 13 says about how he felt about that. And how he felt about her. Matthew talks about it in chapter 14 of his gospel. And he alludes to the Lord having compassion for sick people. Those that are sick and those that are suffering. He talks about it in verse 14. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus, or really Martin alludes to the Lord's compassion, even to folks that are hungry. Folks that are going without. And I look at those things, and it's a quality that I think we see in our Lord that all of us need to imitate. And not only, and by the way, I just want to say maybe even more so, especially when this time of year rolls around. Maybe we need to be a little bit more sensitive to what's going on and really allow God to use us as an instrument of his peace. I like how Paul starts the second letter of Corinthians. Notice with me. Let's go there. How he starts this letter chapter 1, look what it says in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. We have a God of comfort. That God, and you follow the train of thought here, God's God of comfort. And what that means is, it means that God wants to supply you, us, His people, with comfort. To be comforted. And then He adds that He wants to comfort us in our afflictions. Well, He's not done there, though, is He? There's not a comma there. So why? In our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. I look at that, I see that, follow the truth. God wants to extend His comfort that He has. He wants to extend it to us. But having done that, what does He want? He wants me and you to extend the same comfort to others that are suffering. There's a responsibility there. There's an accountability for us there. That we need to be moved by the plight of the trouble and the suffering of other people. The Lord has given us that responsibility. I see that there. Now, those are the thoughts that I've been thinking about this week. And I think about that. And I bring that up. Well, we need to be instruments of God's comfort. Well, that's true. And the Bible says that. How do I do that? How can I be a comfort to somebody that's suffering? I think that's a good question. I think that's a fair question. And it's a question. I struggle with that. Do you struggle with that? I've gone to hospitals and I've visited folks and I've been at their bedside. And I'll just tell you, since I'm on the down slope now, a lot of times what's on my mind is immediately on my tongue. I've got to watch that. And a lot of times I've left those situations and you wonder what to say. Your mind, what would be good to say? And I leave sometimes and say, well, I didn't say, well, I hope you don't die before you get out of here. Something stupid. That's not comforting. It's not comforting at all. But you wonder what to say in those situations. And what about families who are grieving over lost loved ones? What about how many people did Thanksgiving without somebody that's near and dear to them for whatever reason? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're still hurting. What do you say to people like that? What would God want them to know? And I think about it. Maybe that's the route we need to take. What would God want us to know about that? Well, four things this week, thinking about that, and I'm going to share them with you today. And if you're grieving and hurting today, I think there are some things that God wants you to know. That God wants you to know. And I hope that the things that we say this morning will give you some comfort. And that if you know somebody that's grieving, or somebody that's hurting, maybe you too can see the responsibility that we have. And maybe share and pass these things on to someone else. One of the things that I believe that God wants you to know, that if you're hurting today, I think God wants you to know that He knows. I think that's part of the struggle. That's part of the struggle when we are struggling. You know what? Nobody knows. Just nobody knows what I'm going through. Did you know that? Have you ever said that? I said that. I am alone in this. No one knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. Now, I want to validate that feeling. Because I believe all of us have felt that way. We've all felt that way. Here's the thing that I have to say about that. That's all it is. It's a feeling. There's no doubt about it. That's all it is. But if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are never, ever alone. I'll say that again. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, no matter what, you are never alone. The most important one, the one that is in the best position to help me through anything in my life, He knows. He knows. One of the most unfamiliar books in the Bible is Revelation. Because after the first three chapters, we're out in the twilight zone. We've got to have a good background. We've got to stay on top of what that figurative language is. But the first two or three chapters, we know. I love those first two or three chapters. They are particularly addressed to churches that are having problems. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 2. Jesus has personal messages for churches there in this letter. And he begins in familiar ways. Don't you look? Let's look at verse 2 of chapter 2. Jesus says, I know. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. He knows those things. Verse 9. Drop down. I know. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. And the blasphemy that said, I know. He knows those things. Look at verse 13. I know. This is the Pergamum. Church there. I know where you dwell. Where Satan's throne is. I know about that. Well, look at verse 19. I know. I know your deeds. I know your love, your faith, your service. All of those things. And you look at those letters. I know the adversity you're going through. I know the things that the congregation that you're associated with. I know the things you're going through. I know the troubles that you're having. I know about the persecution. I know about your faith. I know, folks. He knows what's going on here. He knows. He knows our work. He knows our spirit. He knows our attitude. He knows what we think about this world. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knows. Now, I like verse 13 in that. I love this chapter. He says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Not only does he know the congregation, and knows the problem, knows the positive and negative about the congregation, he knows the individual's name in the congregation. Hey, listen, I know Antipas. And I know that he was killed. I know the ones that killed him. And I know how his death affected you. Jesus knows. God knows. Brethren, our circumstances are no different. They're no different. There is not anything going on here. There's not anything going on with you. Anything going on with me that God does not know. He knows. Back up a little bit. We could go to Kazim. Let's go to Hebrews. We could go to Kazim chapters and verses and texts about what God knows and how he knows. But Hebrews is close here. And I know this passage has a text, and I'm kind of taking it out of that text. But I want us to look at this verse. First verse thing. He says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open, laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Brethren, there's not anything going on with us or you. Everything that's good, the good stuff going on with you, God knows. All the bad stuff that's going on with you, God knows. And he knows our moments of grief. Even when we're hid in a dark corner, and we are crying our eyes out, and our hearts are broken. We're grieving, I can tell you, that the Lord sees every single tear. He knows when your heart's broken. He knows. In fact, the psalmist says, it's during that time and during those hours when God draws nearer, closer to you. When you're feeling that, when you're going through that. And I think about that. Yes, God knows. That says a lot. We could spend weeks on God knowing and all of that. But I look at, that's not really enough. God knows, yeah. But not only should we know that God knows, God cares. He gets it. He understands it. That's overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? God knows, but he gets it. He understands what I'm going through. Have a try. Have somebody give you comfort. And I mean they're legitimately trying to be there for you. And they're trying to help you through this. And they're legit. But they just don't get it. And you know they don't get it. They don't understand. I remember when my boys were teenagers. I can't remember who it is. I was having lunch with him. And I'm having lunch. And I said, man, I'll tell you what, my boys. And I, teenage boy, here we go. And he goes, I tell you what, I know exactly what you mean. My niece, she came over to stay with us 2 weeks there last month. Oh, she's 15. I know exactly what you're going through. No. Yeah, no. You didn't have any kids. All right. Tried his best, but still he didn't get it. You know, try to give something to someone that really doesn't get it. And you know what? You need to be nice to those people. Because we're trying, aren't we? Yeah. You're trying to be company and be there, but sometimes we just don't get it. And I think that's one of the things that makes our seasons of grief and sorrow is that nobody understands really what we're going through. Now, how about I make that again? Everybody felt that way sometimes. And it is a feeling that we get sometimes. But if you are, again, a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, it's never true that no one gets it. God always gets it. And God understands exactly what we're going through. There's not a time, there's not a thing that you've ever been through that God didn't totally understand what you're going through. Have you ever thought about how come God gets it? How about He's God? How about that? God understands every single dimension of every single thing, of every single thought, of every single feeling that you're ever going through. He gets it, and He understands it. In fact, I'm going to say God gets it better than you do yourself. Why is that? You ever think about it? Yeah, He's God. He sees everything. And not only does He see everything, He hears everything. Not only does He do that, John says in the latter part of chapter 2, He can see my heart. God knows what motivates me. He knows what the motivation is behind the people that have hurt me. He knows everything. Sees it, hears it. God can read your heart. He knows you inside and out. Time to get that advantage done. Well, I remember that. But you know, secondly, John tells us in his word, John chapter 1, what is it? That the Word became what? Flesh. He dwelt among us. Now think about that. God lived as a human being. He's one of us. God was just like us in Jesus. And when He was here, you need to remember, He didn't get on some remote island and live with us. He didn't live in some celestial palace, separate and apart from folks just like you and me. No, that wasn't the Lord. Jesus lost people to death. People that He loved. The Lord grieved. The Lord wept. Just like us. Felt it just like us. Jesus had people say awful and terrible things to Him. He felt it. We just went through John chapter 8. The enemies of the Lord were there. We talked about that. Why, they claimed He was what? Demon possessed in John 8. And I think when you look at that chapter, I think, what, about verse 40 something, 41, 48. Somewhere in there, almost kind of inferred that his birth was a result of fornication. Hurtful things, mean things, terrible things. He was rejected by his own family. Man, we've got to go get Jesus. He's lost his mind. Let's go get Him. How terrible, how hurtful. And even those that spent 3-4 years with Him rejected Him. I think the one that hurt Him the most and talked to the court the most, Peter. I'll tell you what, they can string me up, they can kill me, they'll gut me in too. I'll never deny it. Three times that night. One of the times, it's never true that no one understands. The truth is, whatever you're going through, God gets it better than you do. And I think we need to remember that. We need to understand that. And while we're saying that, I think we need to understand that, yeah, He knows and He understands, but folks, God cares that you're going through all of that. He really cares about that. In our moments of grief, in our moments of difficulty, sometimes there are people around who say, you know what, we just know what you're going through. And you know what, there's some people that even know what we're going through and understand what we're going through. But you know what? They don't help a bit. They're not there. Let me tell you something, brethren. We need to bulk up about that. And we need to toughen up about that. Because there are going to be times when we need each other. And we're going to let each other down. We're not going to be there for you. I should be, but I'm not. Now, when that happens to you, don't leave the Lord because of it. Oh, church, don't do that. People are going to let you down. Don't leave Jesus because of that. The church is going to let you down. Don't leave Jesus because of that. Jesus didn't leave. The Lord never left you. Don't walk away from that. They're going to let us down. Some people should care, but don't care.
Well, but it's ever true that nobody cares, because the one that does care, he does care.
He cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Peter says, casting all your worry, your care, your anxiety, put it on him. Why? Because he cares. That's what Paul said to the Philippian brethren. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God. The peace of God which passes all comprehension, all understanding, that's going to guard our heart. That's going to guard our mind. God says, you've got trouble, you have grief, you have burdens. God says, give it to me. Please lay that on me. Think about it. At my most difficult moment, the one who knows what's going on, the one that knows everything, understands, he cares about that. He cares deeply about all of us. And you know, that very thought, that's got to give you comfort. That's got to give us comfort in knowing that fact. And I think about that. I think that's critically important, because I think finally God helps us in those difficult hours. And I think that's the one we kind of wait on. Yeah, I'm in this situation. You know what you want in the situation that you're in? You want help. You need help. You want help. And I think that's what we want ultimately in the hours of grief that we have. I know a few people that just seem to love that kind of attention, wallowing in self-pity. You know anybody like that? I do. And they seem to enjoy that kind of attention that they love grieving over the problems that they have, and they love the attention that brings. I know folks like that, but I'm not that guy. That's not me. Got a problem, got a situation, you know what I want to do? Fix. I want it to end. I want it to get through it. I want to be at peace again. I want to find happiness and joy again. And I think that's what most of us are. And so, throughout this lesson, I've been saying over and over to you, the one that matters most, he's the one that knows, and he's the one that cares. Why is it that God is the one that matters the most? Why is that? When you look at it, because, again, God is in the best position. He's in the best position to help. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that we tend to get very angry, and we tend to get very upset with one another when, you know what, when that happens, when you know, somebody that should have come along and helped us doesn't come along and help us. You get mad, don't you? And you know what? Maybe somebody in that situation will look at you and go, well, I'll tell you what. You might be feeling the way you feel, but at least you got God. And at least you can count on God being there for you. And I've seen folks act in some sort of dismissive way. And it just dismiss that, the very thing. And really, I think it got backwards. The people react that way. I love, brethren, I love this family. I love this church family. Been here 100 years now. And I love the way that I've seen brethren work together and respond to people that are suffering grief, that are in need, that have problems. I've seen it. Maybe you've not. I've seen it. And I know that I just know the hearts of those that are here. Love the heart. And that I can only take. But you know what? You know what really important thing that matters? God's there. On top of all that, I've got kids.
I've got God. Sometimes we forget that.
Why?
Man, he's in the best position, even better than you,
to help me. I can count on him. Well, what's God going to do for me when I'm troubled or grieving or having problems that need fixed? What's he going to do for me? Number one, he's promised he's going to be with me. He's promised he's going to be here. God has promised that no matter what shape I'm in, where I find myself, never going to leave me. He's never going to fail. I can always count on his presence. You know, a lot of times, and Brother Nolan mentioned this one time, said he stuck with me. A lot of times, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't need rescue. They just need somebody there, don't you know? Just need somebody to be there. Folks, you can count on God to be there. He's promised that. The second thing God does is provide me with God. So, you know, I'm thinking about this. I'm wrestling with this. It's outline. And I'm trying to work through this trouble and grief. And God says, you know what? I'm going to show you a way to get through this. Now, you know where this is going on. Goes every time Kyle preaches, every time anybody preaches. He tells your Bible. You can get in this book. Because, you know how to work through grief in your life? You know what to do when your life's hard? You want answers? You want to know how to deal with financial trouble? Get in the book. Get in the book because God's got the answer. Now, I want to warn you, a lot of times, it might not be the answer that you want. It might not be the answer that you want to hear. That's what Paul says in Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Notice what he says. Maybe if your family wasn't together this Thanksgiving, there was friction. Maybe it could be solved with what? Uh-oh. The apology word. Notice verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Maybe Christmas is coming around. Maybe on the outset, maybe y'all look around and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You started on the right foot here on this dinner instead of last month. I'm sorry. It's our God that gives us that heart to do that. It might be tough, but you know what? It's always right. You can't go wrong with what you're saying. And to do what you're saying. So, he offers guidance to us. He offers his presence. And thirdly, when I look at this, I want you to know he offers his perspective. Sometimes a lot of our problems that we have with family and life and everything that goes with the holiday, you know, a lot of things can be solved. We just look at it the way God looks at things. And the way God's perspective is. You know, maybe you're in a position where you're thinking about that tree coming up and everything that's under that tree, just a little bit meager, not much there and all those things. And you know, what does that mean? It just needs some godly perspective. You know, one thing Scripture says over and over again, folks, is that life's not about the stuff of God. It's not about what we own. It's not about the trinkets. It's not about all that stuff. In fact, Matthew says, Matthew 6, the Lord talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, we can lay up treasure. Where do we lay that treasure? We need to lay it up there because the stuff of kids is just going to rust, just going to corrode, just going to fade away. It's all going away. And then I put this outline together, I thought, I'm getting in trouble right now. I can't remember what I got to Christmas back here. I can't. Now, if I think real hard, I still can't remember. But if I think real hard, I can remember some things I got when I was a kid. Give those surprises. You remember when you were a kid, got that bike, got that bow? I remember that. I was worried about that. We're gone. I do remember Christmas. I remember family. I remember good times. I remember all of those things. All that stuff is vivid in my memory. But you know what I don't remember? I don't remember the stuff. So maybe if you're worried about those boxes under the tree, maybe the stuff your kids need can't be bought with money. That's God's perspective.
So God looks at things. And we need to plug that God-given perspective into things like that. And the problems that we have, it helps. It helps.
He offers me that perspective. The last thing I'll say this morning is, you know that God offers me a promise of better things to come? You know, the reality is, the only thing that we know down here, we're not going to know this life without disappointment. And we're not going to know this life without heartache. And we're not going to know this life without grief. And we're not going to know this life without trouble and sorrow. And you may find that your family's like mine, and maybe, I don't know, I've been all over the place with this lesson, but you might think that your family's like mine, that you go through spells, that everything's great, everything's fine, and then you get a break on all this bad stuff, and then there it is. It hits you. Something happens, and you're going to have family gathering. And there's not going to be somebody there that you love. Going to be gone. And there's going to be financial setbacks, and there's going to be people who are going to break your heart. And there's going to be people that let you down. The reality of living in a broken world, that's what all that is. But you know, I look at that, and Jesus, through Peter, says the wonderful thing, 1 Peter chapter 1, the wonderful heritage which is imperishable and undefiled, it will not fade away. The heritage, the inheritance, that's promise. That's promise for you and I. We know that whatever life brings our way, good or bad, I'm telling you folks, right here, everything here is just the beginning. This is just the preamble. This is just the start. And just the real story, folks, the real story begins at the grave. That's where the real story begins for all of us, brethren. Better things are coming. That's the anchor that we're holding on to get us through these things. Better things are coming. The winter storms that come and go, and they pass through our lives, all of our lives. We're steady. We're hanging in there because we know that better things are going to come. Please get this on the trap. We need to remember. I think we need to remember to share that with people who are hurting. We need to remember those things. Wherever we are. And whenever we are in that place. I just wonder if maybe there's someone in the crowd that has not found that peace and comfort and joy that we know as brethren, as Christians. We know that God is the God of all comfort, and He comforts us during those times. He's there. He understands. He gives us guidance. He gives us the perspective that nobody in the world has. Thank God for that. What a blessing that is to be one of God's children, especially during this time. Thank God for that. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, we certainly encourage you to do that. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's the gospel that is preached here. May it forever be. God forbid if any other words are spoken. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not done that, please come. Together we stand and sing.